I'm Adam Rappaport. Welcome to the Bon Appetit Foodcast. Joining me in studio is digital food editor Dawn Perry. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And we got a newcomer joining us for the first time on the BA Foodcast is Test Kitchen Manager Brad Leone. Brad, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
This is very exciting. Brad is the guy who basically... Dawn, how would you describe Brad in our Test Kitchen parlance?
Our everything.
He's our everything. That's the very sort of new agey Dawn speaking.
No, without Brad, we are nothing. For real. Brad sources pretty much everything that we cook with, whether it's placing orders that get delivered or scouring the city for the perfect pea. He's our guy.
The subject of this show actually happens to be spring vegetables. We had a brutal, brutal winter here on the East Coast. New York sucked. Boston got it even harder. It just felt like we were never going to get a single vegetable. The green markets were never going to happen. We were just going to be eating short ribs and mashed potatoes all year long, which is not the worst thing. But at some point, you're like, I would like a vegetable. So spring is finally happening right now. There's all this beautiful green stuff at the market. I will be honest. I go to the market. I'm like, okay, this stuff looks amazing. What do I do with it? How should I know what to buy and what do I do with it? So we're going to run down a bunch of these things. I want both your input. Starting off, peas, like the classic spring vegetable. What the hell do I do with peas other than boil them and put in butter on them?
That's it. No, really.
Well, that's a good option.
No, butter and chives is one of my favorite things to do with peas. Brown butter ups the ante a little.
And you're just taking them out of the pot, throwing them in boiling water.
Yeah, and if, when you open up the pot and taste them, if it's really fresh and not too starchy, eat that thing raw.
Ooh,
toss it in salads,
nice.
With other grains or even with greens.
I like fresh mint with my peas.
Mint is delicious. Also, spring veg loves lemon and lemon zest.
That's interesting. Like you always need, the chefs always tell you need some acid. That's the one thing like professional chefs always remind you of. You need some acid on there. I had a artichoke salad, speaking of spring, the other night at that restaurant Isodi in the West Village, which is a great restaurant. And it, olive oil, shaved raw artichokes. But I felt I asked for a little lemon. I was like, can I get a little lemon with this?
Yeah, I feel like the spring veg wants a little acid and it wants a little extra salt. Mm. Like we really like the flaky salt in the kitchen. Yeah.
Also salt your water well when you're simmering the veg.
Absolutely. That way the salt gets inside of the vegetable, not just on the outside.
Yeah. Brad, what about in terms of looking for something like peas? Are there good peas or bad peas? Or
I mean, yeah, if we're talking about just like the English peas, I like to have, you know, the larger the pot isn't always the best. Sometimes they're a bit starchier.
Yeah. See, what's the deal with that? Sometimes I get peas and I'm like, these are really starchy and I don't like them.
They're usually on the vine too long or just a little too mature and they get old and start to get a little starchy in texture. The medium or even some of the smaller ones tend to be a little crispier and certainly a much more sweeter.
Oh, so that's a great piece of advice. So bigger is not better when it comes to peas.
No, I would say no.
That's awesome. All right, that's why Brad's Brad and I'm not. What else are you doing? Do you ever make mushy peas like the Brits do?
Yeah, I'll mash peas but with a little like really good fresh ricotta.
Ooh.
Some shaved parm or pecorino in there. And again, lemon zest.
That's not too British though. That's like the Italian. You ever just do butter and mint and mash them all up?
I like the snap of the pea.
Okay.
And the crunch, so I don't usually mash them unless it's going with something else fatty.
What about frozen peas, Brad? Are you a fan of frozen peas year-round?
Yeah, and we use them. They're great, you know, in the bind when you can't get fresh peas, obviously, or, if, you know, you're not getting them shipped from California or something. They work great, and I mean, it's a frozen vegetable that freezes really well, and you can get them everywhere, and you can use them in just about the same ways that you would use fresh ones.
All right, what about like snap peas and other forms of peas? Fan, Dawn?
Big fan.
Of which?
I love a snap pea. Okay. I love a sugar snap pea. Yep. Again, raw, I never cook them. I just snap off the end that looks like a hat and then eat the whole thing.
The snap peas are the puffier ones. What are the really flat ones with the things in those?
Snow
peas, different. Okay, gosh, the good thing I got you guys. I did what Andrew Knowlton told me to do last summer is buy a bunch of snap peas. I take the thread off the top. Olive oil, salt, and throw them right on the grill, like in a grill basket, till they get nice and charred, and then hit them with a lot of like lemon juice, fresh mint, and some chili peppers, and that's like the best cocktail snack during grilling hour.
Absolutely, and one of my favorite things to do with the fresh English peas is kind of eat them like edamame, but I'll put them in a big bowl, I'll toss them with salt and pepper, I'll finish them with a little lemon when I'm done, and you toss them with that, salt, pepper, olive oil, and you grill them, and the outside just blisters up nice, and it kind of steams in its own moistures inside the pot, and then you could just it starts to open a little and you just eat it like you would an edamame.
Edamame, that's awesome. All right, next up, rhubarb. My mom was always a rhubarb fan, and she's always trying to make rhubarb pies. I don't get rhubarb. You got to sell me, Dawn.
Sweet or savory?
I don't either. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, the truth about rhubarb.
Because it's not that sweet.
It's not. No, it's very tart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, classic combination of strawberry rhubarb in a crumble in a pie, which I think is helpful because it cuts some of that tartness.
So the sweetness of the strawberry balances the tart, acidic nature of the rhubarb.
True. Otherwise, you're going to want to add a little bit of sweetener, whether it's sugar or agave or whatever. I really like to roast it.
Just whole, so not sweet. Or do you put some sort of a honey or something on
it? No, this is a sweet preparation. Okay. So a little bit of sugar, a vanilla bean split in there, splash of red wine, and roast that. Serve it over ice cream. Super delicious. But you could also take it savory. I would still add a little bit of sweetener to cut the tartness and like serve it with pork. Make kind of a jammy compote.
See, that still sounds kind of sweet to me.
But do you like sweet? Are you against sweet and savory?
I like the notion of like chutney sort of things with pork and other dishes.
Yeah.
And I love the way rhubarb looks. It's beautiful. It's strikingly beautiful, that deep red color, and it's great. It's when you work for a food magazine, you're always into things that look good, but it just seems like you're always like going through a lot of effort to get it to taste good. You're like, it's really tart and acidic and doesn't taste good, so you got to put a shit ton of like sugar or strawberries with it.
I feel like it's kind of a hands-off process though. You give it a toss.
She's selling it hard, Brad.
You don't,
I don't know.
You stop looking at it.
Brad, what do you think? What's your take on rhubarb?
It's a very unique vegetable, and that's why people like it. And the color alone, I mean, yes, it is very tart, but if you don't want to, I like it real thin, raw, tossed in with other like spring vegetables in a salad. And it just adds that little bit of different flavor profile. Yeah, a little bite.
I like that. I like raw everything these days, tossed in.
If you can do it raw, why not?
If you slice anything thin enough, you can mix it into a salad and it gives you a little crunch and bite. Is there any in terms of looking for rhubarb, in terms of the season, what to look for, Brad?
Absolutely. I mean, when buying it, I always like to find ones where on the ends, sometimes when it's a little older, you'll start to get brown, light brown blemishes, and it starts to get soft on you and spotty. You want like a real nice consistent stalk. I like a real dark color. They come in a lot. You can get them real pink and real red. It just depends on how it was grown and what type of rhubarb it is. But all of them are pretty much the same flavor. I like the thinner ones that are real, real red, just because it seems to be a little less fibrous. And in my opinion, they tend to be a little sweeter.
And then when in the Northeast, for instance, when are we seeing rhubarb in the markets?
Usually a little later. I would say at the end of May.
Yeah.
Through June?
Yeah, you can buy them now, but yeah. I think they're coming from different places. But in the markets, I believe around June, end of May.
All right, let's keep on moving. Keep on moving, don't stop. Fava beans, one of those things where it's like, I love when people prepare fava beans for me and shell them and all of that. Yes, yeah, as is my want. Are we supposed to go out and buy our own fava beans?
Yeah, I mean, again, fava beans you can find frozen.
Yep. Or dry.
Or dried. But honestly, I'm the same. Every time I'm going through a pound of fresh fava beans and I end up with like 3/4 of a cup.
Because you have to shell them. And the outside, unlike snap peas or something, you're not eating the outside. You have to completely discard the shell. And you're going by hand, popping them out, right?
By hand. And again, it's a nice meditation, but is it worth it? Is a question I ask myself every time.
The Italian nonas out there would say yes.
Yeah.
It's a very Italian rite of spring that you're getting the fresh favas on, whether it's bruschetta or toss in a pasta or something,
I mean, so I love fava beans, but what I like to do is cut them with other spring veg. So you don't have to spend 2 hours shelling. So use some fresh peas, use some asparagus in with the favas so you don't spend all day shelling.
And are you making a pasta with them or what are you doing with them?
Yeah, well, I just developed this great pasta primavera that you can find on bonappetit.com, which we can talk about a little bit later.
I want to talk about that now.
Okay.
How do you make it?
So, we picked our favorites: favas, asparagus, spring onions, morel mushrooms.
Morel mushrooms; those are fancy.
Which are the fancy ones?
Yeah, but they're good. Really deep flavor. They're kind of that spongy-looking, weird brown Christmas tree.
They look like a small brown Christmas tree, but you could use cremini's in a pinch.
No. We're using morels.
Okay, we're using
morels. Stick to your guns.
So
you get all that stuff, then what?
Get all that stuff. Saute half of the spring onions, a bit of garlic.
Yep. Why not?
And the morels.
Yep.
Meanwhile, you blanch the asparagus and the favas in your pasta water.
Okay, real quickly, though.
Real quick, like 30 seconds.
Salted water. Can I interject?
Yes.
Eric Repair one time had this piece of advice, and he does not even he doesn't know why it's true, but he insists it is true. He said he was once told that when blanching green vegetables, such as asparagus or broccoli, for instance, in salted boiling water, never to put the top on. Because if you put the top on, it loses its green, vibrant color. He doesn't know why it's true, but he insists it is. Does that make any sense at all?
I agree, and I also don't know why it's true, but I'll agree with pretty much anything Eric Rivera says. Yes. So.
He's a charming bastard, than Eric Rivera. All right, sorry. So you're sautéing the onion and the garlic in the pan. You're blanching the asparagus and fava beans. You're also sautéing the morels with the onion and garlic, right?
Right. Then pasta goes in. You add a little creme fraiche. Creme fraiche is going into the sautéed spring onions and morels.
Mm, nice.
Add a little creme fraiche, some pasta water. Yeah. Sauce it up. Then add the cooked noodles. Cook, 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 add the asparagus and the favas, toss, toss, toss. So I did end up frying half of the spring onions, thinly sliced, and reserved the fried onion oil. So that's what I sautéed everything in. So then crispy onions, chives, lemon zest go on the whole dish after.
Oh, so that's a little gremolata.
Exactly.
Very clever.
Layers of flavor there.
I'm going to have to go to bonappetit.com and get this recipe. I got an email about it. I was like, that looks pretty good.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And then, that's very cool. Now, Brad, getting back to that starchy thing, because I had some favas the other day my wife bought, and we were making a risotto at home, and she shelled them and did all that. But they were a little bit on the starchy side. Did she buy two big ones, maybe?
It's kind of the same case with the English peas, with the fava beans. When they get real large, they tend to get a little starchy. I mean, some of the pods you can get up to like 8 inches long, and I find that those tend to be a lot more starchier than, say, one that's 4 inches. Even though you get less beans than in the pod, it's kind of worth it. And I find, you know, favas are a good place for if you have people in the, you know, at the party or at the kitchen where they can, help out.
Get involved.
They can work on that while you work on something else. And because if you're cooking in the kitchen, you're the boss, and you can delegate the less, you know, the less attractive chores.
Yeah, because everyone always asks, what can I do? And you're like, all right,
I got a job. Yeah,
here's a giant bowl of fava beans. Go for it.
Yeah, get a friend and have fun.
Yeah, give them a drink and put them to work. All right, well, that's good to know. All right, next up, we have a couple more things on the list. Next up is spring lettuces. I mean, I don't know. You buy lettuce and you make a salad. Am I missing something here, Dawn? Or is this more complex than I think?
I mean, not too much more complex. I also like to toss, I guess everything with pasta. But I like to toss spring greens with pasta just at the end. Kind of treat them more like an herb.
Like a quick wilt on it.
Yeah. Mm. And then same thing as like I would use, you know, whole parsley leaves or cilantro. I'll toss spring lettuces with like a bracing bright vinaigrette and serve with a steak like on top.
Wait, you're saying you're tossing them in oil to wilt them, or you're just tossing just fresh lettuces?
No, like a nice brightly dressed lettuces. Treat those like you would whole herbs to go with a roasted beast of some kind.
What's exciting about the spring lettuces is that there's so many different colors and types and varieties. And one of my favorite salads with it is just straight herbs with a really good vinegar, a little bit of salt, and just a splash of really good oil, and it doesn't need anything else. It's just wonderful, and it's got so many different colors and shapes, and when it's there in the spring, that's when it's the best.
I think that's always, you know, when in doubt, when you go to your farmer's market, and if they do have beautiful lettuces and other vegetables, a lot of time it is, you know, just don't do a lot to them. Good olive oil, salt, and some acid is often kind of all you need.
Absolutely.
Radishes, which have become seemingly very sort of popular the last few years again with chefs all over the place. Is that a fair statement, Dawn?
Yeah, totally fair.
Totally fair. Awesome. Awesome. So you just buy them and put them in butter and salt and eat them?
That's it, raw.
That's one way to do it. I mean, the other thing that's so cool is there's a lot of different radish varieties.
Yeah.
You've seen a watermelon radish. It's beautiful. The little French breakfast radishes are great, especially I like with the nice French butter. But yeah, thinly sliced into salad, pickled radishes are super delicious. Kind of exciting to find on the edge of your Bloody Mary.
I mean, I love them just raw, but they're great if you have them with a little bit of the green still on it and just grill them with a little olive oil and salt.
Yeah.
And another thing, a lot of people, if you see especially nice, beautiful radishes at the market, you can keep the greens. The greens are very edible and they're delicious. And I store them separately. I'll remove the radish from the greens, keep those in a separate container, and then the greens in a separate container.
Well, what are you doing with the greens, though?
You can eat them, you can toss them in a salad. You can wilt them like spinach, eat them raw.
Let's talk about, all right, it's interesting as we're in this sort of confluence of warm weather and the market happening and grilling season, and it's like, oh, wow, like I can grill now. And like in terms of grilling vegetables, Brad, do you have certain techniques or policies you adhere to when throwing?
Yeah, I like to keep it where it's a manageable size. Like I don't go cutting many of the things I'm grilling up into small pieces until after I grill it. So you can work with it on the grill. And like I said, like leaving a big, you know, big attachment of the greens on the radishes, it adds a nice thing. It's got a wilted green to it. And it's got the nice, you know, when you grill those dark red radishes, even if it's just for a little bit, it almost like, I don't want to use the word blanch because you're not, but it kind of makes the color pop out too. And it really makes a pretty presentation.
Do you, a few times in this magazine, we've talked about or shown photos of, and chefs are big into grilling lettuce. Do you ever do that, Dawn? Like a whole side of like of romaine or something, you know?
Yeah, I love it. What I like about that is you get, you know, I like to do just one side, the cut side, drizzle it with olive oil, hit it with salt and pepper, grill that side. So you have sort of half charred and half crispy, bright, and raw. Same thing, give it like a nice acidic vinaigrette. In this case, I like a bit of cheese.
When you grill half of it, the top half will stay that kind of fresh kind of crispiness, but then the inside gets this little wilty, kind of very wet texture because it starts to release its own liquids, and it's a really nice flavor. You know, you get different textures from the same. You can get different textures in the same vegetable, which is interesting.
Yeah, I love grilling. And actually, in the editor's letter in the June issue, which is out now on stands, I do a grilled cob salad where I make a grain base. I think the photo we did is of black quinoa, although last night I just made one using farro, boiled some farro for about a half hour, put it on a sheet tray to let it cool off, and then grilled up a bunch of really good, beautiful asparagus with oil and salt, some snap peas that I had like in a little grilling tray, you know, some cherry tomatoes, some scallions. Always throw scallions on the grill. Never a bad move. And just chopped them all up and then tossed them in a really, like I said, once again, a beautiful sort of acidic shallot vinaigrette, threw a bunch of fresh mint and parsley on there. And
put that on anything.
Oh, my God, so good. That, and I served it with cheeseburgers. And it was that sort of perfect sort of high-low, beefy, cheesy, gooey, and then this just bright spring salad. It was such a wonderful compliment.
Yeah, sounds great.
I'll say something we did also feature in the June issue was a grill topper, which is like a thin mesh piece of metal. They're super inexpensive. You can get them at, I think, any hardware store. Yeah, that's a great way to get vegetables on the grill.
Yeah, it looks like in like something you get at the auto parts store or something. It's like a filter. It's like it's just like a mesh cage like sheet tray, and you can. Andrew Knowlton writes about it that he just all summer in Maine throws everything from scallions to broccoli pieces to little padron peppers to you name it. Just like I said, olive oil, salt, anything goes great on the grill, and I like really high heat to get that nice char on it.
Quick, hot, fast, and then
The snap peas, whatever you want to do. It's gorgeous. So get to the farmer's market. Go support your local farmers. Buy some amazing spring produce.
Talk to them. Make relations.
Exactly. That's the best. Ask questions.
And taste things. Don't be afraid. They'll let you try things. And before you buy 3 pounds of something, if different crops can have different results, and just taste. That's the best advice I can.
We're gonna have to start an Ask BA Brad hotline, I think, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Guys,
I'll call in.
Guys, thank you so much for joining me. Dawn Perry, digital food editor, and Brad Leone, test kitchen manager. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is recorded to a digital device in the small conference room on the 36th floor of One World Trade Center in New York City. Our engineer is Mitra Kaboli, with production assistance from Bill Cushing and Kerry Polis, and is produced by Scott DeSimon. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or at bonappetit.com.